It's officially all happening, people. Tomorrow in Orlando, it's LAFC versus Galaxy El Trafico, 7:30 here on 710 ESPN, and that game will be on ESPN. Sunday, Dodgers open exhibition play against Arizona at Dodger Stadium, 6 days away from opening day, and the NBA is back 13 days from today, Lakers versus Clippers. It really is all happening. Finally.
Right. And the biggest story continues to be what's going on in Washington with Dan Snyder, who, Mace, now that I've had a night to sleep on it, I think that he's handling this as about as poorly as you can handle something.
Agreed.
Yesterday I talked about how there is a roadmap on how you can survive something like this. Not that he deserves it, but if he was just to follow the Mark Cuban playbook, to basically come out and say, hey, this is unacceptable. It's embarrassing. The buck stops with me, and I will answer any questions you have, and face the music. He's done exactly the opposite. He's not talking at all. And the thing that really swung me against him overnight was I saw an interview with one of the Washington Post reporters last night on SportsCenter.
Right.
And he made the point that they asked the Redskins on multiple occasions to let these women out of their
non-disclosure agreements
so they could tell their stories. And the Redskins said, or Dan Snyder said, absolutely not. And that's just the sign of somebody who doesn't get it.
Yeah, so who knows what happened?
Emily Applegate is speaking on the record about everything. And
correct.
There's just no reason to doubt her.
Right. Although, you know, this is maybe just me. I'm surprised by the muted level of outrage.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I talked to a couple of female sports reporters today.
Yep.
And the overwhelming sentiment of these women is they weren't surprised.
Yeah.
They're like, this is news to you? This is what our lives have been like from the beginning. And sadly, Mace, they don't think it's necessarily going to get any better. They've seen this movie before. As one of them pointed out to me, in 2018, that cheerleader story about the Redskins was about as ugly as you can get.
Yeah. And nothing happened.
And they obviously changed nothing.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe the climate has changed. What year was the cheerleader scandal?
2018.
Has the climate changed? When did, example, Ronan Farrow start reporting
Late 2018, early 2019.
Yeah.
The Harvey Weinstein.
But Daniel Snyder had a chance to straighten this out. Daniel Snyder had a chance to drain his cesspool of predators.
And what he did was he fired them all this week when yep. the Washington Post forced his hand. So, again, the question is not should Daniel Snyder survive it? You and I both think he shouldn't. But will he? And not one other owner has spoken up. And as we pointed out on the show yesterday, the NFL Network, which is owned by the league, I watched Good Morning Football this morning. Yeah, they buried it 10 minutes in. It was exactly what Lindsay said it would be. It was a guy reporting it, and then one guy making one comment on it, but no discussion, and then they went back to talking about, you know, whether or not the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to be good this year. So it's a situation where I think the NFL is going to flex its muscle here, and I don't know if the other owners are going to force Daniel Snyder out.
So here's the latest reporting. It's from a guy named Mark Mask at the Washington Post. The headline is, NFL will consider disciplining Washington, but is not expected to force Daniel Snyder to sell.
And what outlet does he work for?
Washington Post.
Okay.
So this is a follow-up on yesterday's story. Snyder said Friday that the alleged behavior by former team officials has no place in our franchise or society. NFL said the accusations are serious, disturbing, contrary to the NFL's values. League indicated it will consider disciplinary action after reviewing the findings of the outside investigation initiated Thursday by the team. Here's my question. if the team initiates the investigation, is it really an outside investigation?
No.
I hire a lawyer or a firm to investigate the allegations in my organization. They work for me. I'm paying them.
Correct.
The NFL should send an outside investigator dredge through it.
The NFL should take over the investigation. They shouldn't let the Redskins do it. But they're going
to. I even think the NFL is biased to downplay this stuff. I think you want an actual outside investigator to go in and figure out exactly what happened. Find out how, in 2018, after that cheerleading scandal, Washington did not take action to clean up its mess.
Well, the problem would be, who would hire that outside counsel? Somebody has to pay him. So the NFL has to get involved on some level. You know,
how did it work with Cuban? Did he do his own internal investigation?
Well, the Sports Illustrated forced his hand. Sports Illustrated had the whole story, and he basically came in and said, I need to turn this over to somebody else. And he hired Cynthia Marshall.
And she's the one that cleaned it up.
Correct. But the way Cuban handled it versus the way Snyder is handling it is night and day. And there was a window there where Snyder could have taken a page out of Cuban's book, and I would have been all over every outlet last night if I was Daniel Snyder. Instead, he spoke to no one.
Yeah.
And then just issued a statement that some lawyer wrote today.
Well, the key is, can they ever pierce those NDAs?
Well, what happened with the Weinstein case is the women just said, screw it. I don't care if he sues me, I'm going. And that's a very risky thing to do because it could bankrupt you.
Yeah, no.
You know, the one thing that I feel the worst for in this whole story is, and this is a complicated subject, but these women that are being treated this way, I've heard people say, well, why didn't they just report what was happening? Well, number one, there was no mechanism at that particular team to do it. They didn't have a human resources department. But even if they did, Mace, once you report it, once you're labeled as a whistleblower, you don't have any protection.
Correct.
In other words, you need to build relationships with players, coaches, and staff in order for you to develop stories and do your job. And you know, these women didn't do anything wrong. And so now all of a sudden, they're going to – and some of these women did. They filed complaints anyway.
Yeah.
But the minute you file a complaint, people say, well,
you become that person who filed a complaint.
Yeah, be very careful what you say around, Karen, because she's
– Yeah, no, especially Karen.
Yeah, you know, because
she's going to broadcast it.
Yeah, she's liable to turn you in, and which is just wrong. I mean, the men don't have this hurdle they have to clear over. It unlevels the playing field. So I'm very sympathetic to women that just want to work in sports. That's all they want to do. They shouldn't have to put up with this crap.
Yeah, and these women said it was just misery.
Right.
That, you know, Emily Applegate, I think it's Emily Applegate, right?
Yeah.
Had an office that was 10 feet away from Bruce Allen, and she said he had to see her sobbing at her desk.
Yeah, but unless you can prove that, then again, you can't tie it to Snyder or to Allen.
But the key is, we don't know what those NDAs say.
Correct.
We don't know what Snyder is keeping quiet. And that's how rich guys operate. Sign an NDA. Hey, something bad happened. Sign this NDA. And I'll pay you some money to keep you quiet.
Yeah, I remember. Who was the political candidate that was running for office? And as soon as they asked him about NDAs, I thought his campaigns. Oh, it was Michael Bloomberg.
Michael Bloomberg, yeah. Had a bunch of NDAs.
He was running, and a reporter at one of his press conferences when he was running for president said, will you release any woman who's worked in your company from their non-disclosure agreement so they can tell us what you're like to work for? And he said, no, that's a legal thing, and I will not do it.
Yep.
Well, right there, you're hiding something.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know where it goes. Coming up, by the way, at the bottom of the hour, otherwise known as 3:30. Thank you. I was on it. I said 3:30. John Keim is going to join us, who's the ESPN beat reporter that covers the Washington football team.
Ron Rivera to go on the record.
Yeah, and he hosts the John Keim Report podcast. I have that right. It's Keim, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So we got that coming up for you at 3:30. And we'll continue to dig into that. Coming up next, let me see, where do we want to go next? The NFL is sorting through how it can move forward. Guys are supposed to report to training camp on Monday, and there is a ton of confusion. We'll get into that coming up next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, coming up for you at 3:30, we will talk to John Keim from ESPN, covers the Redskins, the John Keim Report podcast. He has been covering the story, the unfolding story of what's going on with Daniel Snyder and the Washington football franchise. In the meantime, there is a lot of confusion amongst NFL players about exactly how training camp can and is expected to start on Monday. John, the NFL is just steamrolling and doing exactly what they would be whether there was a pandemic or not. So for example, the Tennessee Titans have rookie camp on Monday. Rookies expected to show up for Tennessee, Kansas City, and Houston. In this environment, with no known testing protocol.
All right, let me tell you how easily this could all come off the rails. There's a story on Yahoo today about Andrew Whitworth, who plays left tackle for the Rams. Whitworth says a family member recently went to lunch with a friend, and a couple of days later, that family member started to feel sick and ended up taking a COVID test.
Yep.
Here's what Whitworth picks it up from there. Quote, next thing we know, she had it. A couple of days later, my wife and I had it. A couple of days after that, my kids had it. So we were 7 for 7 at that point. And then, unfortunately, we had just visited my wife's family. We were traveling with them as well. And her mom and dad both got it.
Oh.
So that's 9 for 9, including people that, you know, Andrew's in his mid-30s. So you would assume his father-in-law and his mother-in-law are in their 60s or 70s. And that's when it gets really risky. That's when it gets really. And Mace, they haven't been doing what the NFL has been doing, what the NBA has been doing. They're not doing like quarantining people and testing them every day. They haven't even started that yet. And as you point out, there are people that are supposed to report to camp today. If Whitworth goes into camp in the middle of this story he's telling, he was
and
obviously
spreads it.
I mean, boom, end of the Rams.
Yeah. Now here's the hitch between these. So the NFLPA wants daily testing, which is what they're doing in Major League Baseball and what they're doing in the NBA. The NFL wants to do just 3 tests per week, and that's apparently a breaking point for the union. And the union put out what they're calling a heat map, and it's basically every NFL franchise city and how much COVID there is around it. So here are the lists of the franchises that are playing in cities with significant COVID. First of all, far and away, the city of Miami has had more cases of COVID than many countries. They are number one. Arizona is number two. Jacksonville, Tampa, another city in Florida. Jacksonville, city in Florida. Tennessee, Las Vegas, L.A., both Rams and Chargers, Houston, New Orleans, Dallas, Carolina, and Atlanta all have significant waves of infection from COVID.
And there, again, I think the key part of this story that we're talking about is that they are not quarantining people.
Right.
If you're an NFL player, you're on the honor system right now. And we've seen how the honor system has worked in LA County. No one follows it.
Yep.
So I think this is an incredibly risky proposition, and I've already realized, or at least in my own head, I think college football is out. I don't think it's happening.
I think college football is dead. I think it's dead.
And the only way I think NFL football happens is if they do that insane amount of testing you were talking about. And why would you argue three tests a week when every other sport is they're testing the media in the NBA bubble every day. The media. And the NFL doesn't want to test the players?
And they're made of money. I mean, they could do this. They could conceivably pull this off if they just tested every day. Why would they not test every day? I don't understand. When the other sports are testing every day, maintaining as much as possible a safe environment for their players, why the NFL would essentially go cheap and only test three times a week.
Yeah, it makes no sense. If I was the head of the union, if I was D. Smith, I'd be furious. And you know, did you see the tweet storm that J.J. Watt went on yesterday, where he was basically pointing out all the things they don't know?
Yep.
It just doesn't seem like a league that has this much money and this much power has their act together, does it?
No, it doesn't. They've been behaving in a way that suggests they're just going to continue with their normal schedule. But these are not normal times. And you can do a draft. You can do a free agent season because there's no risk of COVID there. There's no contact. This is different. You can't just steamroll your way through this. And it doesn't seem like the NFL has a plan. Which is crazy because they had the advantage of time on their side.
And like you pointed out, they have the most money.
Yeah. I don't know. The NFL seems like a pipe dream right now. Now, I do think they'll figure something out. Don't you?
Well, they have enough money and they have the resources.
There's so much money here.
I now think they're not starting on time. I think that September 13th is when the Rams Cowboys are.
September 13th is Rams Cowboys. It's SoFi.
I think that's getting pushed back. We already heard talk that they were talking about moving everything back a month and starting first weekend in October. I think that's probably.
But
likely.
Here's the question: why do they think that's better?
It just buys you more time.
Right, but I mean, it could get worse.
Right, but what I'm saying is it.
That's the one thing baseball and the NBA both wanted. They wanted to get it over as quickly as possible, fearing that it's going to get worse.
I don't think the NFL's ever had a plan to opt out of the fall like baseball and basketball do. I just don't think that they've ever considered that to be as serious of an issue as the other leagues have.
And by the way, this can be done. I mean, Major League Baseball tested 10,548 players and staff in the last week. They had 6 positive tests, 0.05%.
All right, so somebody just tweeted us. Let me give this guy credit. Victor Aguilera, thanks for listening, Victor. NFL won't test because they'll have to cancel the season. Likelihood is that too many players will test positive. That's a little cynical, but do you think that could be part of
it? It is very cynical, but definitely could be. Definitely could be. I mean, they want this season bad.
Yeah. All right, hey, let me sneak this in here because we got John Keim coming up from D.C. The NBA, according to Sham Sharania, is about to announce that all the awards – MVP, Rookie of the Year, Coach of the Year, all of them, are going to be based on the season that was shut down rather than – it's not going to include these 8 games. So, you know, anybody says, well, maybe, Zion could overtake Ja Morant for Rookie of the Year in these 8 games. No. They're going to base it on what happened before the season was shut down.
Yeah, maybe LeBron will overtake Giannis. No.
Well, I would vote for LeBron even based on what happened before, but I think
I would vote for LeBron, but I think Giannis is winning. Yeah. He's the betting favorite in Vegas.
It seems like most people who have like talked to voters seem to think that, but yeah. I think LeBron leading the league in assists and being the best player on the best team in the Western Conference, I would vote for him.
Yeah, I would vote for him also. All right, coming up next for you, John Keim will join us from Washington, D.C. He is the ESPN beat writer for the Washington football team, also the host of the John Keim Report podcast. He's coming up next for you, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
In Ireland, 710 ESPN. Hey, it's Friday. Made it to the end of the week. Tomorrow, LAFC versus the Galaxy. That game is at 7:30. You'll hear it right here on 710 ESPN. Dodgers play an official real exhibition game on Sunday against the Arizona Diamondbacks at Dodger Stadium. Opening day is Thursday of next week against the San Francisco Giants, Johnny Cueto versus Clayton Kershaw. And then we are 13 days away from Lakers versus Clippers in the bubble in Orlando.
And all of that has taken a backseat to the NFL, especially this story in Washington, D.C., that Dan Snyder, the owner of the team that used to be called the Redskins, allowed, according to the Washington Post, a culture of sexual harassment to exist. And John Keim, who was the guy that was able to get Ron Rivera on the record. He got Ron to text him and added that to the mix. And as this story kind of plays out, is nice enough to join us now. John, thank you for doing this. Let me start with this. Why is Rivera the one speaking for the Redskins instead of Snyder, in your opinion?
Well, a couple of reasons. One, well, Dan Snyder released a statement today. So he, you know, whether or not people like the statement, he did do it today. He doesn't like to speak to the media at all. When Rivera was hired, he gave a little introduction and that was it. He doesn't take questions. So I'm not surprised he didn't come out and speak. I think people wish he had come out and gave a statement right away, knowing what was coming. But he also, when they hired Rivera, they hired him to be the face of the franchise. So I think that's part of it, but this was a situation where it kind of demands the owner speak. And again, today he did release a statement. Whether people like it or not, he did release one today.
So, John, you've been around this team. I don't know how long you've been the beat writer covering Washington. How long have you been there?
Oh, I've been here since 1994.
Okay.
ESPN since 2013.
So were you aware of any of this stuff? Were you aware of this toxic culture that apparently existed?
I'm not going to get into specific allegations or anything like that, but, like, you know, that place has been toxic for a long time. That's well known. Now, the media is in a different building than where everybody else is. So, but yeah, it's, I mean, you know, people leave there and they're usually not happy, and they feel better once they're out. So that's not a secret.
We're talking to John Keim, who's the ESPN NFL Nation reporter who covers Washington. John also has his own podcast, The John Keim Report, and John's name is spelled K-E-I-M, if you're looking for that on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. John, I thought that I kind of live half my life in the NBA, and I thought Mark Cuban kind of left a roadmap on how this could have been handled. Cuban came right out, and he actually kind of hung a lantern on it. He goes, you know what? I neglected that side of the business. I blew it. I'm going to hire somebody who knows this stuff better than I do to come in and fix it. You talked about how Snyder doesn't like the media or doesn't like being on camera, so it didn't surprise you that he didn't talk. Did it surprise you that I thought he would be more on defense. I thought he would be more aggressive about, at least, you mentioned the statement today, but I thought at least he would have some type of strategy. From where you're sitting, does he have a strategy yet?
I don't know. That's a good question. I think it's a good point. I mean, You know, and I mean, Mark Cuban and Dan Snyder are very different people.
Sure.
So Cuban is very open and out there. So I don't know, like, both of how they handle it kind of fit their personalities. But I do think in these situations, it calls for ultra-aggressiveness. And I don't know that it'd be all that hard to go and say, these are some of the steps you can announce right away.
Right.
And I know, like, even little things, like, and I was talking to some former employees today or this morning, and, you know, get a female in charge and who has legit power. And I don't think it'd be hard to find somebody who
that's what Cuban did. That's what Mark Cuban
exactly.
did. He hired Cynthia
exactly.
Marshall from
that's
AT&T.
Exactly right.
And she's been great.
Yeah.
We're talking
yeah.
to John Keim. Go ahead, John.
No, I mean, I think that matters, because what it does is it you feel like it's not the old boys club in the building, and you feel like maybe you have somebody who will hear you and be sensitive to possible topics. Because if all you get a lot of times are just guys around there, you know, it just things go wrong. And so I think you need to be reminded of what is wrong, even if people think you should know, some don't.
So, John, the Washington Post obviously put together a bunch of details in their story that they dropped yesterday. But, you know, there was stuff going on already. There was the 2018 complaint against the team's radio announcer who was caught on tape objectifying a college intern. There was the cheerleader situation that happened in 2018, an outrageous environment that should have, you would think, spurred change. Alex Santos, who was then director of pro personnel, at one point in 2019 groped and made unwanted, inappropriate sexual content. Why did it take this long for there to be enough outrage developed to do something about this culture?
Oh, I don't know that I can answer that, because, you know, it's not my franchise. So you know what I mean? Like, I don't
sure.
know why it would have taken that long. What I do know is, for a story to get in there, and you ask about, like, earlier about what do you know, like, well, there's a lot of things you may hear, but you have to have people on the record saying something.
Mm-hmm.
And I think anybody who covers any franchise in sports is going to hear things, but you have to have somebody on the record, and that's what the Post had. That is a key part here. So then when you have that, and you know there's going to be things that are coming out that make it look bad, I mean, you got no choice but to make a move. So, you know, I think that's clear. And a couple of the other guys who have been mentioned have not worked here. I think it's in about a year or so. But I think it's getting – you know, having somebody on the record saying this is what happened and this is wrong, and then buttressed by having a, you know, 12, 13, 14 other people, you know, who have complaints and official or formal complaints, that's what leads to it. So, but again, it starts with getting somebody who's willing to go on the record.
John Keim is our guest. He covers ESPN NFL Nation. He works there, covers Washington. John, the Post reported today that they think it's possible the NFL could discipline the team, but it was unlikely, in the opinion of the Post, that Dan Snyder would be forced to sell the franchise. Is that your sentiment as well? Do you sense that's probably where this is heading?
Yeah, and the NFL came out with a statement earlier this morning, and they basically said, you know, well, and so the possibility stems from what they had said in the statement, which is, we'll see what this how this investigation plays out, that the Redskins are, what Washington is going to do, and then determine what course of actions they'll do based on that investigation. So, yes, there's a possibility of that, and no, I don't think he's going to sell.
So I'm going to throw out a theory. It actually came from a caller on the show yesterday. The idea of the timing of this story versus the timing of the name change. The idea being, if Snyder knew this story, they were working on it, and it was potentially going to drop, what good thing could he do in advance to sort of deflect from that a little bit, and renaming the team might be that. Is there any relationship between these two stories?
That's a good question. It's something I think anybody's going to wonder. And, you know, but I don't have any proof that there is, because I don't know exactly when they started making those calls. I think if you're with the Post, you may have a better idea. You know, who one of the two reporters, whether it's Liz Clark or Will Hobson, they may have, they'll have a much better knowledge of when they started calling over there and doing this, or, you know, but I also, I do believe that there was, I think, you know, finally a time where they kind of realized, I don't think you're going to be able to run from the protesters anymore. So I think there, I think that is a definite part of it. I just don't know when they made those first calls and what the, you know, did that trigger or not. Can't say it didn't. I can't say it didn't because I don't know that answer about when.
John Keim is with us. John, let me pivot a little bit. We opened the show by talking about whether or not there's going to be an NFL season at all. You've covered the NFL for years. What's your sense of the league trying to play in this time of COVID-19 and whether or not they can pull it off?
Well, yeah, that I don't. You know, it's very mixed because sometimes you talk to somebody and they feel pretty good if X, Y, you know, if they get the. Because the NFLPA and the NFL have to come to an agreement about all these protocols and what does this mean and what does that mean, you know. So there's like, you know, and the NFLPA has certain parameters for testing and for how it handled that. If they don't agree to it, then players won't feel as comfortable, you know. And then it depends on when do you talk to a guy. I talked to a guy a month ago, and his comment was, "There's no bleeping way we're going to play." And but then I hear from someone else like, "Yeah, I think it will happen." And then other people say, I think I could see it being pushed back a few weeks for training camp and then making it a go then. So I think it's kind of all over the place. It's some days it's hard to have any optimism at all. And then other days it's like, well, if nothing else, they're going to try. And I just think there's so many people. It's such a bigger operation than other sports that it's going to be difficult to pull it off. You know, and so that's why I say I could see a scenario. Again, I play these scenarios out with, I talk to, you know, to a lot of people, and I play it out, and then everybody's got a different answer. And my thing is I could see it being pushed till mid-August, late August, and the season starting in October. I could see that, too, just to see if there's states like you know, like your state, like Texas, Arizona, Florida, are they better by that point to make
right.
it more, to make players feel safe? Because you know what? There's a couple of things that are part of this. There is, you know, there are players that have underlying conditions. They're, and, you know, players, what they don't know, too, but I don't know that anybody truly knows, what's the effect if you get it, what's the effect in a year or two? Just because you recover after a few weeks, what is the long-term effect? That's something else that I think that concerns players. They have kids or spouses or parents who have underlying conditions.
Yep.
So I think there's just a whole host of questions, just like everybody has in any line of work. It's just that they may have more of a choice. And then you're going to have some guys who make a lot of money who say, I'm just going to sit this out. And then I talk to agents who say, some of my guys, this is what they need this.
Yeah.
You know, they need this. So they may have, so it's all over the place. So I think that's why I think you get answers that are all over the place when you ask people.
Yeah. Well, it'll be fascinating to see where it goes. And we really appreciate the insight into what's going on with the Washington organization right now. We're going to continue to follow that story. Thanks a lot for coming on, John. John Keim, the John Keim Report podcast. He covers the Washington football team for ESPN. We appreciate your time, man.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
It's a coin flip to him whether or not they play.
Yeah.
And he doesn't think Snyder is going to be forced to sell the team.
So the question is, should he be forced to sell the team?
Well, you and I think so, but we don't have any juice here.
But I've heard from people on Twitter who say, no, he shouldn't be forced to sell the team.
Let's take
he had
some
nothing
calls.
To do with it.
Let's see what people think. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. It is a slippery slope. If you force him to sell the team when he was not personally implicated.
That we know of.
He hasn't been yet. Does that set a bad precedent? I'm not sure.
Or if you're the CEO of an organization and it is rife with a toxic culture where women are sexually harassed and treated as lesser than, is it your responsibility? It's your team. It's your franchise. You're the boss. 877-710-ESPN. Mason in Ireland, 710-ESPN. Get to calls in a moment here. So Juan asked me to ask everybody, including you and Linz and Funch, where should we go this weekend that is safe and exciting? Last week, we went out to Inglewood and saw the new stadium, drove all the way around it. It was really cool. Where can we go that is safe and exciting?
I think that the restrictions are going to be dialed up. I don't know if unless you drive somewhere far away. Like when I went up to Pebble Beach, I felt much safer.
Right.
Worthy went up to Santa Barbara with his girlfriend.
That's what I was going to suggest.
Week, and he loved it. He said it was great. He felt like he really got away. He said they wore masks and they social distanced. But he said that
that's a good idea.
The hotels
you should go there. Yeah,
the restaurants were open.
Juan went to UCSB, so he knows that territory.
Yeah.
My masseuse always tells me, if you want a good weekend getaway or just get away by yourself for a night or two, it's so beautiful up there. It's amazing. You would love it. And I still haven't had a chance to go up there.
Yeah, Juan majored in accounting and minored in drugs.
Just think, drugs, huh?
Think, UCSB is a party school.
I think
school.
When you get your diploma,
yeah,
everybody that graduates from that school has that minor.
I think they do. Everybody's got that minor. That's the thing about it. All right, so we're talking about the Washington football team and the situation with the unbelievable number of women who have come forward and said they have dealt with a hostile workplace, an abusive workplace. The question is, does it start at the top, or does Daniel Snyder skate on this whole thing?
Let's go to Sarkis on line two. Hey, Sarkis, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi, Sarkis.
Hey, John. Hey, Steve. How you guys doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. Do I think Snyder should sell the team, or should be forced to sell? Absolutely. Do I think they can? Probably not. You kind of have to catch him in like a Donald Sterling type of incident to force that, I think.
Well, Mason brought up a good point earlier, Sarkis, that the other way you could do it is if the sponsors dried up. But the problem is that the NFL is so popular that I think they would just go out and get other sponsors. Remember, guys, when the Masters, all their sponsors backed out and the Masters just said, screw it. And they got three title sponsors and they just kept going. The NFL is so strong that they could do that.
But the big question is, 14 of these women signed non-disclosure agreements. There are non-disclosure agreements out there. Is Daniel Snyder willing to release them from their non-disclosure agreements?
Not so far.
Yep, not so far.
Yeah, but
where's V when you need her?
It is. Where is who?
V Stiviano.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, yeah, with her beekeeper mask. She was ahead of her time, guys.
Yes, she was.
That beekeeper mask is what everybody wears.
She
now.
Was pandemic ready.
Yeah, thank you, Sarkis, for the
thanks
phone
for the call, man.
Here's Greg in L.A. Hey, Greg, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good, Greg.
Hey, I think it's quite simple in my mind. He's involved in the organization. He runs it from the top down. That's something that can't be happening. And just end of story, he should be definitely forced to sell a team. And whether they have grounds to do it or not, I don't know.
Okay,
but if those owners,
Greg,
want a way to get him out, then they can.
But Greg, let me play devil's advocate with you. Couldn't we have said the exact same thing about Mark Cuban when that story broke about the Mavericks?
Okay, let me play devil's advocate to that devil's advocate. There were women involved in an incident in 2018, cheerleaders. There were women involved in an incident in 2019, and no actions were taken by the organization.
Right, but I'm just saying that if your argument...
So he knew this stuff was going on because he knew that this cheerleader thing happened.
Right, but Greg, your argument is he runs it. He either should have known or the fact that he didn't know is lack of control. So either way, he's out. That's your argument, right?
Correct. And I'm not as well versed in the Mark Cuban things of it. So, I can't speak on that.
Yeah, it was a very similar scandal. It actually involved some domestic violence as well that Mark was made aware of and hired the guy back anyway. But I think that the difference is that Mark had built up, and Mace, this goes to your point, Mark had built up a body of work that he could fall back on and say, here's what I'm guilty of. I ignored that part of the business. I was so focused on the court that I didn't get enough involved in the business side of it. And I'm not even qualified to run that side of it. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go out. Number one, I'm going to get a woman because we've got a woman problem. And number two, I'm going to get a qualified executive that knows business, and I'm going to give the keys to her. Snyder hasn't indicated that he's willing to do that at all. He may be forced to do it, but the fact that he hasn't done that, and Mace, I think that you brought this up a few minutes ago, the fact that he's refusing to let those women out of their NDAs is really what sways it to me that they should make a change. But
right.
I don't think they're necessarily going to be able to do it.
Thanks for the call, Matt. Lindsay, what do you think?
Sorry, I was on mute there. I mean, I think that if they can find a way to make him sell the team, I think they should. But I just don't, I don't know. As somebody who has like seen the inner workings, I guess, of how they do things at the NFL, I just don't see it happening. Because at the end of the day, Roger Goodell works for the owners, and it just doesn't seem likely to me. I think it's different than the NBA.
How did they get Jerry Richardson?
He was the one that was directly culpable. He was putting his hands on women.
Okay, got it.
And making them twirl in his office. He was the Post story yesterday contains the sentence: Daniel Snyder and Bruce Allen are not being accused of any inappropriate behavior by any of the women. But then the sentence goes on, but many feel they should have known what was going on.
Right.
But there's a difference between Richardson, who was doing it himself, and Snyder and Allen, who people are just accusing, saying they should have known.
Well, that's just willful ignorance on their part. There's no way you can't notice the stuff that's mentioned in that article.
Do you think Cuban didn't know?
No, I think Cuban knew too. Right. I think Cuban got off really, really easy. But, I said it at the time. I thought he got off really, really easy.
But here's the thing.
And it's because he's slick. It's because he can talk. It's because he's likable. It's because he's on Shark Tank. It's because he's vocal. It's because he's good in an interview. I think Cuban got off really easy.
I think it's also because he faced the music right away and he said, I'm going to fix this and here's what I'm going to do to fix it. And then he acted quickly.
Right.
Snyder hasn't done any of those things. Issued a statement today that I assume was written by lawyers. I think the point you brought up a couple minutes ago that this situation was brought to his attention in 2018 and the culture didn't change is a huge red flag. But I don't necessarily think the other owners, and they're the ones that hold the keys to all this, I don't think the other owners are going to throw one of their own under the bus. And I think it's very telling that not one owner has said a word. Nobody.
Yeah, nobody wants to wade into this.
Yeah, not even Jerry Jones, who talks at the drop of a hat. You know, not Arthur Blank, who owns Home Depot.
Well, they march in unison. If one says something, they'll all say something. But so far, all quiet. All right, coming up next for you, all the stories that we haven't talked about yet. It's The Scoop, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.